Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is the 4th of September, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring Compassion Community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. And Ben's here again.
Good morning.
How is it?
It is all good.
You rode your little scooter today. Your little
electric
scooter.
Yeah, it's my first time riding this early in the morning, and it is very nice.
There's nobody on the road.
The weather and everything.
Well, on Labor Day, nobody was on the road.
Yeah. I made it in record time. It took 33 minutes.
33 minutes. Well, eventually you'll get your car back.
Eventually.
Eventually. Yeah, well, hey. Tell Dad to get off his butt.
So, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, okay.
We have rodeo once again.
Do we have a National Day today?
Yes, we have National Wildlife Day.
Okay, I can go with that one. Are we talking about animals or like clubs?
Animals, such as elephants.
Chimpanzees?
Such as yourself.
What?
What?
You know, there is a line. There is a line, and you just nudged it. I'm gonna call your father.
Oh no!
Oh yeah, I know your father.
Oh no!
Yeah, yeah, the man with heavy hands. The weather out there. He's 18, folks. He can't help himself. And as soon as he hits puberty.
Oh Lord!
Yeah. Today, sunny and hot with a high near 104. We're in heat advisories now, low around 69 tonight. Tomorrow, high near 107. Don't they know it's September? And 103 on Friday, 100 on Saturday, and it starts cooling down. 95 on Sunday, 92 on Monday. And Tuesday might actually have a chance of showers and a high near 86. Whoa. So maybe it is starting to cool off here. The weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a family-owned business, third generation. That's how long they've been around. They have discounts for seniors and veterans, locally owned, locally operated, a veteran-owned business that has won awards at the state level for hiring veterans. This is Shasta Gas Propane. These are some good people, the Kinney family. Give them a call, 530-365-3793. And you know what? I forgot to ask the big question is, how do you pronounce your last name?
You know, actually, that catches everyone with that E in there. It's just Backus. Pretend the E doesn't exist.
Okay, got it. So I'm here with David Backus, who is a candidate for Reading City Council. So good morning, David. You know, that's the way I thought. And that's the way I pronounced it. But then I thought, you know, but I've missed other names tragically.
Oh, and, I get it. So I always say like Jim Backus, you know.
Yeah, yeah, okay, you know, which a lot of people have no idea who that man is either. If you ever watched, a lot of movies back then, but he was also on Gilligan's Island. He played the millionaire. Dave, you're running for Reading City Council. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, you know, I've been a nonprofit worker. I've run a real estate company. That's how I pay the bills. But really, the majority of my history up here is dealing in nonprofit work. And so I work with several different nonprofits. I sit on the housing board for NBCSS and a number of other organizations. And, you know, I started going and attending a lot more city council meetings over the last few years. And I started to actually kind of hear a lot of these leaders, some of which I can very much appreciate, and others that I find are falling very short. And so I found myself in a place where I decided I'll throw my hat in the ring, see if I can get some of that good leadership back onto the city council.
Okay, well, but tell us about you. Are you a local guy? Did you move here from someplace? What?
So my wife and I moved here around 15 years ago or so. Mm-hmm. It was, for her, it was like coming back home. She was born at Mercy Hospital. For me, I grew up in Paradise. And so it, for me, Reading was always just that, high number up on the top of the weather report, you know, up in the top of the map there. And,
it was that metropolitan city that was, you know, relatively close.
Yeah. And an extra 10 degrees from whatever
we had. An extra 10 degrees. Yeah. Jeez. Tell me about it. Okay. So, and you moved from?
So I moved from Paradise up here, and
right. So you were in Paradise.
Well, yeah. I should say my wife and I met in college. So we were in college on the coast, and we moved in Tahoe. Actually, if you want to really count where we moved from, but that was only 1 year for an internship for her. So I don't really count that as actually living there. We were just there very temporarily.
Not a bad place to, you know, to vacation at.
It's not a bad place to vacation. It's a very interesting place to live, though.
I imagine it is. You know, the underbelly of Tahoe must be interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a very interesting spot. You never really get to know locals. You're always just meeting people that are in town for a couple days, and that's not the community I wanted to live in. So, you know, when we moved here, it was a breath of fresh air. You know, this was a place really to grow roots, and roots we have grown.
Well, and so you've been here around, 5 years. I'm sorry, 15 years.
Yeah, 15 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And you decided to throw your hat in the ring because you didn't like what you saw going on at the city council.
Well, I liked some of what I saw. You know, again, I saw Michael DeQuisto out there, you know, really just giving it to the powers that be and really kind of really representing the people. He's someone that I aspire to be like as far as a leader is concerned. And so I'd like to follow in his legacy since he no longer is sitting on the council.
Well, are you running for a 4-year spot?
Yes, I'm running for a 4-year.
So the 2-year spot appears to be Aaron Reznor and Mark Mazzano running for that.
Yeah, there is a third candidate on there, but most likely it's going to be those two candidates that are really the headliners.
But this is kind of a winner take all in November. But, you know, whoever has the most votes, whether it's 49, 48.
It 100% is, yeah. So it's top two.
It's not
two.
Like it's not like a runoff here.
It's top two for the 4-year term. So there's going to be two out of that, and then the winner of the 2-year term is going to advance forward. So, so we're going to be able to get two elected under the 4-year. Fingers crossed, we can really switch this majority on the council back around to, you know, making more common sense decisions for the community.
So what are some of the decisions that they've made that you disagree with?
We want to talk about most recently. Last night at the city council meeting, they decided to take the Reading Rodeo. And, you know, there was a plan in place.
I tell you what, because this is going to go for a while.
It will.
I'm going to take an early break here. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back because I was unable to attend it last night. And the whole time I was doing something, I was thinking about it, going, gosh, I'm wondering, you know, what, is it too late to show up at 8:30? Maybe it wouldn't have been, you know.
Surprisingly, it was, actually. It didn't go that late. You know, normally, the ones that are controversial go until, like, 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we're here with Dave Backus, candidate for Reading City Council, a 4-year term. Lived here for 15 years. They're local. He's from Paradise, and his wife's here from Reading. So we'll be right back.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park and Dutch Bros Coffee presents Caffeinate for a Cause, back for its 12th annual year. Stop by any local Dutch Bros location on Thursday, September 19th, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. in support of Turtle Bay's exhibitions and educational programming. $1 from every drink sold plus tips will be donated to Turtle Bay. You never know, you could get a chance to meet one of our Turtle Bay animal ambassadors. Don't miss Caffeinate for a Cause, Thursday, September 19th, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This Sunday, Lake Reading Park will be a smokin' as those crazy yellow-shirted Asphalt Cowboys fire up their barbecues for the annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there or use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live and silent auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $15 at the event or pre-purchase for $13 from any Asphalt Cowboy, Paint Marts in Redding and Anderson, San Francisco Deli, or Lulu's Restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soups, salads, sandwiches, steaks, seafood, and Italian dishes. Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's, and you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with department staff, with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, we call on the bot. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, anywhere in the world. Phone lines here at 530-605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, locally owned, locally operated, been here for 30 years, won Best in the North State 2023-2024 in the Record Searchlight poll, and there's a reason for it. They are the best in the North State, the only watch repairman, the only stone cutter. They have a wonderful selection of jewelry at very fair prices, and they're nice people. Like I said, locally owned, locally operated, been here for a long time, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. The only place we go to shop for jewelry for Linda or to have repairs made on jewelry, any of this. They're a very, very good business. And I'm here with Dave Backus, who is running for Redding City Council. He's a local guy. Been around here around... Okay. Get control. been here around 15 years. Real estate.
I do, yeah. I've got my own office, Fathom Realty. It's over off Hartnell and Victor.
Okay. All right. So you're talking about last night, the city council and the rodeo. Now, as people know, this is getting to be a bone of contention here. And the fact is Reading Rodeo has been around 76 years and has brought in millions of dollars each year to our community. It hasn't cost the taxpayers one penny for 76 years. And all they want is an extended lease so they can enhance the facility, so they can have more events down there, that it's, you know, bringing in, making it, it's already nationally televised, the only nationally televised sport we have coming out of Reading. It's, people, you know, the crowds are bigger every year, and we thought we couldn't get any bigger over 75. Having the 75th anniversary, we were wrong. 76 was even bigger. So, for some reason, the city council doesn't want to do an extended.
Well, that's
so what happened last night, David?
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. And, you know, if you ask the council, you know, last night they had some very colorful, you know, remarks to make at the end of it, right before they voted 4-1 to send this to a committee, where they said they really do support the rodeo and they just want it done right. But really, this is a political maneuver to just push it past the election so they don't have to put on paper whether they support the rodeo or not. That's what it appears to be to me anyways. I can't speak to being inside their mind. But
it appears like that to a lot of people. Yeah. They do not want to say, you know, they will say, oh, no, I support the rodeo. Then why don't you give them a lease?
Exactly.
And their answer to that is, well, we hit the riverfront specific plan and we have to see how that impacts. And if we give a long lease, well, whoa, why?
Yeah.
What difference does it make? You can still, you know, my idea is what's going to happen in the riverfront specific plan anyway, probably different than theirs. But I don't understand their pushback except, well, you were there. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting.
No, it's all fine. No. So, I mean, people are here to really maybe listen to you or probably not me, really.
Well, no. No, they're here to listen to you. You're running for office. And I need your thoughts on it. So you said they're obviously wanting to push it past.
Yeah, and so, you know, I actually participated in those workshops mm-hmm. for the Riverfront Specific Plan because I feel like it's important to see mm-hmm. what activities are going on inside that and check on the $1.5 million they spent for it. And a part of that process, you know, we were in small groups talking about all the different plans, and, you know, I had a couple of rodeo members that were inside that group, but mm-hmm. they were dispersed throughout. And one of the recurring themes that I heard from other tables and my own was that they want the rodeo to stay in its current location and that they want to see it, you know, stay there longer term and be able to expand itself, to be able to improve the facilities. I know that there's a lot of ADA access issues, you know, for people in wheelchairs and things like that.
We fixed several of those, but mm-hmm. But always can make it better.
But all of that requires a long-term lease so that they can be able to secure a loan in order to pay for these improvements. And I don't see a reason why the city would stand in the way of an organization that's been a part of the community for so long when all they want to do is fix their facilities and make it better for the community so that they have even more opportunities for entertainment for the community in the long run.
Well,
what happened?
Okay, that seems like a good answer to me, Dave.
I know, right? So what happened at the city council is, you know, essentially they kicked the can down the road, as a lot of people like to say. You know, they basically said, we're going to form a committee and we're going to talk about whether we want to do this and what details and specifics have to be inside this lease in order for us to be happy. And I feel like that is the exact opposite direction of where we should be going, especially with an organization that, like you said, hasn't cost us a dime for the taxpayers. They've been running, you know, on a level budget. They've been doing what they're said they were going to do, and they've been providing a service to our community. I don't understand why we would stop them.
For 76 years.
Oh, yeah. And I'd like to see them there for another 76 years.
You know what a camel is, right? That's a horse put together by a committee. All right. So I have seen committees put together by the city council that are just woeful that they formed them. And then a year later, when they got ready to make their first, remember the Reading Electric Commission or Utility Committee? A year later, or maybe a little bit less than that, they disbanded them before they could make their first report. Public report. Now, this is not the first time they've done this. So your thoughts that they did this so they would not have to take a stand before the election, I think is right on the mark, in my opinion.
Well, and I wasn't actually going to make any public comment, just because generally as a candidate, I don't really like to get up in front of the city council and make a comment because I feel like it's grandstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel like it's a little unfair that we've got one person that was propped up into a position so that they have that voice, but that's a whole nother discussion for a different day. But anyways, I couldn't help myself. I looked at this room of people that were so dedicated to their cause and their community that I had to stand up and say what everyone in the room was thinking, and a few others did as well, that they're just trying to push this issue aside so that no one has to know about it after the election.
Yeah. Yeah. And when did they say this committee was going to meet? Who's on the committee?
Oh, well, that was an interesting one, too. So the motion came from Julie Winter to put Joshua Johnson, who made the motion originally for the committee, and Tanessa Audette on there. A second motion came in afterwards, which, if you know procedure inside city council, they have to vote on that first, where Joshua Johnson and Mark Mazzano would actually be on it, because Mark really wanted to be on that committee.
Yeah.
He cares for the rodeo, and I can say that because I know him on a personal level.
Yeah, I know him too.
And, he cares about the rodeo, and he wants to see it done right.
So you'd have somebody that was a non-quote developer, so it kind of balanced it out.
Exactly.
And
what ended up happening is they voted 3-2 to not have Mark on there.
Who was the second one?
Went to the Joshua Johnson. He was the motion itself, and then Mark Mazzano was the second. He wanted to be on there, and then so they voted against that, and then went back to the original motion and voted 4-1 for the original Tanessa and Joshua Johnson to be on there. And they used some excuse that it's because Tanessa had some HCD experience, but everyone on the council has HCD experience, housing and community development. For those that don't know.
You know, I'm trying to think really how to phrase this. Tanessa has, and Julie and Jack Munns have been voting as a block ever since they got elected. Tanessa got Joshua Johnson on to take Mike DeQuisto's place.
Well, after removing Cameron Middleton from the
Commission. Oh, no,
she
put him on the Planning Commission after taking Middleton and Parton off. And then they elevated him right up into the city council position. Now, Joshua's he's not ashamed of it. He is a developer. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what he does. And with his riverfront specific plan that we've spent $1.5 million on for the plan. And I will say they had a lot of meetings, and I put in a lot of comments, and every time there's a survey, I'd fill them out and do all these things. So, I mean, I assume somebody's looking at the surveys. And the bottom line, yeah, cross our fingers. The bottom line on this is trying to get a picture of what the riverfront looks like. My question after that, and you're a real estate guy and all this, so we come up with this plan. How is the city going to execute something like this? It's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
The easy answer to that is that they're not. It's not going to come anytime soon. This is going to sit on a shelf.
This is going to go on. I mean, you're talking 15, 20 years probably.
Yeah, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah. It's not a small chunk of change.
And they're going to have a tough time getting a bond for something like this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. The voters aren't going to approve something like that. I should say it's going to be very difficult for them to convince them.
Well, then it gets down to the fact then is since – and also the city is not set up to run something like this. And the private city, private-public partnerships they've had in the past, there's not a great record there with the soccer fields and Big League Dreams and other things.
Don't get me started on Big League Dreams.
Well, anyway. Hey, we're here with David Backus. He's running for Reading City Council. And it sounds like he totally disagreed with what happened last night. He made it real clear, in fact.
Vehemently.
Of making a committee. And the idea of taking the heat off the city council. or their idea of taking heat off the city council was making a committee. And when did they say, what, two months, 3 months?
Well, so they said that they were going to try to come back.
The original one was like July of next year.
Well, they gave it until July, but they said that they're going to really try super hard to have it back by March.
March?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens here. You know, the bottom line to me, and I was telling Ted Bambino this yesterday, is the people in this city and county want this rodeo. And if it came down to it, it'd be a referendum, which it would pass easily. Keep the rodeo here and give them a long lease. I mean, if it has to come to that, it will. And no matter who's sitting on that city council, they're going
to
get them.
Well, fingers crossed, you know, we can get a coalition elected that's able to turn the tide of the power on the council so that we can actually start getting these decisions that are benefiting.
It would be nice if it was, you could, I've watched them for years. I mean, 14 years I've watched the city council, and I've watched them ebb and flow like this. But this is the first time I've really seen things. Well, I can't, that's not true either, because I've seen people that were up for mayor that didn't get it because of their little coalitions. And I'm not talking just Mazzano. There was this happened when Jones was in there, and a couple other times where people that should have been the mayor, it was their turn, were passed over for it. So it's not just this one, but it would be nice if it wasn't so damn political and so obvious. You know, take it. You know, kind of like slide it, kind of slide it in.
Well, and what I was trying to say, I didn't mean to say coalition, meaning that the three people are running together on the same platform and that they're going to vote the same way. I mean a coalition of citizens that are engaged in their community that will make good decisions, rather than ones based on special interests that they're a part of.
Sure. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank's been in the business over 17 years, and they've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened. They've won awards for being one of the best small banks in the nation. They have really, really great people working for them, local board of directors, 4 branches, 1 in Red Bluff, 2 right here in Redding, and 1 down in Anderson. And like I said, they take care of the customers. I'm Linda and I do business over there and have a bank account over there, and we're real happy. I like to think of them as the Cheers of banks. Everybody knows your name. Of course, it could be they know my name because I'm, you know, Carl. Hey, Carl, you need to put some money in this account. Oh, okay. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging would like to invite you to join our free caregiver support events during the month of September. During Session 1, learn how to speak Alzheimer's and related dementia dialects. During Session 2, learn how to understand long-term care. These free events will be held in Wairika, Weaverville, Susanville, Redding, Alturas, and MacArthur, and all attendees will receive free resource materials. Visit psa2.org for dates and times. That's psa2.org.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, We're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Looking for natural relief for yourself, kids, preschoolers, or elderly from coughs, colds, allergies, and high blood pressure? Visit today at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave on Market Street, where salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs. Salt therapy can help you breathe easier, decrease pain, and infrared saunas support weight loss and detox. Visit today and start feeling better. Call 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Book for a first-time discount at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave, where salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs.
It's back to school time with Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. Memory Lane features timeless decor for the home or office, study, or dorm with a variety of books to choose from, including old encyclopedia sets and classic novels, along with sports memorabilia. Memory Lane also offers vintage clothing, college collectibles and gear, classic lunchboxes, porcelain dolls, tin toys, and stuffed animals. You'll also find antique and upcycled furniture, including desks and dressers, and fusion paint and supplies for the do-it-yourselfer. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles features costume to classic jewelry, including necklaces, earrings, bracelets, anklets, and rings in a variety of styles and colors to choose from. They also feature a distinct Amish collection of items and gifts. Open Monday 10 to 6, close Tuesday and Wednesday, open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday open noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. I just want to tell you, I'm dancing around and Dave's just watching. He puts his hands in his pockets and goes, well, he's kind of moving around here now. Hey, welcome back to the show. Our guest is David Backus, who is running for Redding City Council, who is on the side of the rodeo, obviously, and wants to see new leadership at the City Council. Nick, good morning. Hello, Nick. Nick, you're on.
Hey, thank you so much. Hey, I was at the meeting last night, and Mark Mazzano misspoke about something I want to bring to your attention. He said that if it wasn't for him and Aaron Reisner, this would have been a done deal a long time ago. And the fact of the matter is, it's 100% Mark Mazzano who nipped this in the bud. Aaron Reisner, Julie Winter, and the other council members wanted to okay the unsolicited offer made by Populous, K2, McConnell Foundation, and Turtle Bay, and Mark Mazzano stood up and said, I won't have anything to do with this. This needs to go in front of the public. The reason, and this is from Mark DeQuisto when he was on your show, the reason Aaron Reisner proposed and backed the Riverfront specific plan is because she was running against Kevin Cry for a supervisor's position, and she didn't want to make a decision before that election.
Okay. Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
What's kind of funny, actually, is that meeting right there that he's referencing, that's the meeting that actually Joshua Johnson showed up, and I've got a video of his public comment that he made saying that he also supported it being sold off for surplus land.
So, oh, yeah. No, that was clear on that. You know, and that was right after they had secretly sold the blocking piece of land to the Wind River. To the Rancheria. And that blew up in their faces. And so when this came up, and I tell you what, Barry Tippin, took the arrows in his chest, which he should have. He said, I put the plots out there and I didn't say what they were. This is the way we've always done it. And in the future, anything that we're going to look, we're going to say what it is, not just the numbers. Because just looking at the numbers, you don't really know what they're at unless you're, you know, maybe real estate guy or something.
I was going to say, unless you ask an expert on what property you're actually
discussing. Okay, what property
is
that? And then he said, that was mine. I'll take that one, which Barry's good about. If he does something like that, he'll take the shot. But, of course, failed magnificently from the people. And I think it was a lot of it was based on what had happened with that land sale that they had done to block the Rancheria. Okay, well, let's talk about the Rancheria expansion. What are your thoughts on that?
So, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of tribal sovereignty. I understand that, you know, this is not our land. We don't get to make the decision as to what's being done there. There are laws in place that allow them to build a gaming facility. You know, it's not about whether I approve or disapprove of what they're building there or what, you know, is going to go on there. I personally am not a huge fan of gambling, but that doesn't change the fact that, you know, it's in their rights to be able to do so, and we're not really in a position to be able to try to block them. You know, that's not the role of government, isn't to block things from going in that have a legal ability to. The role of government is to assist and do what we can in order to make equitable agreements between organizations so that we can continue in further development. So that being said, it's going to create a massive number of jobs out there. We're going to be getting a large amount of money influx into our community. I think that we're going to see short-term positive results out of it. You know, if we force them to go, basically the only issue that's really left now to resolve is utilities. So basically they've already got their agreement with the county on law enforcement, fire, all that stuff. Now what we're looking at is, okay, so they need utilities.
Sewer,
and they, of course,
water, electricity, trash? No, trash would be county.
Yes, all of that.
Yeah, all that.
But essentially they're, of course, wanting to hook up onto REU systems because, let's be honest, it's cheaper. PG&E is going to cost them a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
They, of course, could, you know, offset that by, you know, renewable means or whatever they'd like to do. I know they're building a hydrogen plant down in Red Bluff that they're going to try to create some and maybe do something with it, you know. Interesting concept, not proven in my opinion yet, but
well,
I'd like to see what
Newsom
they can do.
Just signed that hydrogen hub bill, so
yeah.
It will be interesting.
I'm interested to see how they roll that out. But the short term thing is they need to be on the grid, you know, and so we can either offer them a fair deal with REU utilities, which will actually have a positive impact on ratepayers. It'll actually be able to not necessarily lower their rates, but it will sustain the rates that we currently have.
Stabilize the ones we have.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, it actually makes it cheaper to generate the power itself. And I don't know if anyone's talked at all about this, about the turbines. When they're running these turbines in the power plant, if they're running at peak efficiency all day long, we actually save a ton of power. It's when they're spool up, spool down that we lose a bunch. And so REU, I've talked to the directors out there, they say that this project actually will make the system run more efficiently, which will cost less to operate. So, I'm all for giving them utilities.
The thing I like about REU is, even though they work for the city, they're a pretty independent group out there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Beans, and then when they're talking, they can back it up with facts. It's not just how they feel. I like that. You know, mm-hmm. I hear enough feelings from people. But okay, so you're supporting this? Huh?
You know, it's one of those. Whether I support it or I don't support it, it's happening.
That's true. and you don't have to support gambling.
Yeah,
to support the right of a nation.
Exactly, and that's
to be able to build on their land.
Exactly, I'm not going to put up any roadblocks for them to develop their land.
It's free real estate. We're giving you land. It's free. We're giving you a house. It's real estate. Free. That's a free house for you.
Perfect timing.
It is. He's getting much more bold in this. Okay.
I have completely lost my train of thought there. But, you know, basically, yeah, I'm not going to stand in the way of their development because it's their development to do.
So now it's the city council's job to get the best deal.
To get the best deal for their citizens, for our community and hopefully my constituents when I get elected.
Yep.
And that's what I support.
Okay. Okay, I'm taking an early break again because this next one about homeless. And with that new Supreme Court decision and the new policy from the police on this. Your thoughts on this. And also our roads. I know it doesn't. Roads are, you know, to me, government's supposed to do a couple of things, right? They're supposed to keep law enforcement, fire, and they're supposed to do the infrastructure. That's the big things I think they're supposed to do. That's just me. But let's talk about that when we get back. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the top 50 cardiovascular hospitals in the United States. They have, of course, as you know, they have that teaching program over there with the residencies. They have 22 residents in there working in the hospital but working at local clinics. And already, the first two we had on said they're staying in Reading. They love it here. So one of them's going to work at the hospital. One's going to work at a clinic here. So more doctors. And that's the program that, Shasta Regional Medical Center started. And it's going to be a benefit for our whole region up here. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We'll be right back.
Live at the Cascade Theater, James Garner's tribute to Johnny Cash.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
Returning to Reading Friday, September 13th, starting at 7:30 at the Cascade Theater. Enjoy the stories and especially the music.
Keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I want the line.
Take a trip down memory lane with a tribute to the Man in Black.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
Don't miss James Garner's tribute to Johnny Cash. Friday, September 13th, starting at 7:30 at the Cascade Theater. Tickets are on sale now at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877. That's 530-243-8877.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help.
We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Welcome back. 3-5 Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Hey, listen up. If you lost your Monday night football with DirecTV, call the guys at B&T Satellite to get you signed up. Don't miss a game. Call B&T today at 530-241-3474. The guys are standing by to help. 530-241-3474. Doug Tooley, locally owned, locally operated right here in town, B&T Satellite. And I'm here with Dave Backus, who is running for Reading City Council. We've been talking about rodeo. We've been talking about Rancheria expansion. And now we're going to talk homeless, since this is our last segment here. I've been hearing people talking about homeless now for probably 3 election cycles.
Yeah.
It just got worse. But we just had that Supreme Court decision that says, guess what? Cities and counties actually do have control of their own property. What are your thoughts on this?
So, first off, you're correct. Homelessness is an issue that everyone talks about, and, you know, it's hard to really know exactly what someone really truly feels unless you look at what work they've done in order to assist in that arena. I have worked with Good News Rescue Mission before. I've worked with several different other organizations trying to help end homelessness. Obviously, it's a problem that will most likely never be solved in its entirety, but it is something that we can really approach with compassion. You know, I support the decisions of some portions of it where, you know, we go and approach them and we say, hey, what's the issue that you're having, and let's try to solve that. But it comes to a point where sometimes you run into these people that say, no, I don't want any services. I don't want to get better. I don't want anything. And we need a program to be able to say, hey, that's enough. Okay, we don't want you in our community. So, and that's what I really applaud Chief Barner with his new 3-strikes rule. Basically, you know, the way that it works now is that they have to give a certain amount of notice in order to get someone off a property. But if they become a habitual offender, we basically use this 3-strike to say, hey, the 3rd strike, you now get 24 hours, and that's it. Get off the property. And if we keep moving them along, they're going to leave our community because they don't want to be hassled. They don't want to have to keep moving every single day. And that's not to say that, you know, I want to just hassle homeless people all day long. I don't think that that's the right way to get them help. But at the same time, if they're not going to help themselves, we're not going to give them the power to continue stealing from our businesses and treating them like their personal pantry to raid whenever they need something.
Well, we have our Sue McClain does our news. It starts at 6. So she's in here around 5:30 in the morning at start. The other day, she had to step over a homeless guy. Well, her husband escorts her to work every morning just for this kind of thing. And the fact is that there are many programs out there. We have gotten a lot of people off the streets if they just avail themselves of these programs. But drugs, alcohol, whatever, and they could avail themselves of that program. And we have no hammer on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got drug treatment programs. We have rehabilitation programs. We have mental health programs. We've got all, and they all have openings. They all have the ability to help people right now. You know, it's not that there's no services, that there's not any sort of help they can get for themselves. They choose directly not to get help for themselves. And those people, we do not need in our community.
The trying to recruit people or businesses come in here, it's like for doctors. Let's just say doctors. Doctors like want to work up here.
Mm-hmm.
It's selling the wives on this. And if they drive around and you have tent cities, which we don't have a tent city, but we do have areas where there's a number of homeless hanging out. used to be at the library. In fact, I think they're still there.
Most of the time.
And under the bridge. But that bridge is going to be taken care of when they start building that new cancer center down there, I think. But you're right. I mean, if people don't want to be helped and they've been asked, they sent the CERT teams out, they send Good News Rescue Mission, they send Health and Human Services out there, you got to do something. You can't just go, okay, we're going to reward you by letting you do anything you want to do.
And those CERT teams, you know, that really changed the game as far as the approach to the homeless. Having a social worker as a part of the law enforcement team, you know, it changed how, you know, law enforcement was approaching these people and saying, hey, you know, rather than get off this property, you're violating it. It turned into a conversation. You know, what is it that's going so wrong? Where can we help? And having that social work there has immensely aided in our homeless issue. So I love that program. I think that we need to keep that. We need to expand it, actually. You were speaking to the story of walking over a homeless person. I've got probably 100 of those stories out of, you know, my old office that I was out off Churn Creek, where they put in a facility just across the street, just about. And almost every single day there'd be someone sleeping at our back door because it had a little covered overhang. And I would hope that I would only walk on someone, or I'd only walk and see someone laying there rather than their remnants of, you know, their movement from the day, and, you know, have to take care of that as a business owner. That's just, it's infuriating. Like, you know, I'm not here to clean up other people's
leavings.
Exactly.
Like you would your dog out in the park.
Yeah,
if they
yeah.
just cleaned it up like dogs in a park.
Yeah, I mean, little
come
doggy
on.
Bag.
Your little doggy bag there. We got about, you talked about your nonprofit background and this. What are some of the things you would like to accomplish if you were on the city council?
So, you know, there's a lot of things, and obviously I'm talking about rodeo. I want to continue that if for some reason this council drops it. You know, I'd like to continue that work, to work with the rodeo, get them a lease for a long term. Beyond that, you know, and I know we only have limited time, so I've got a parks program that is kind of unique to other candidates. They're not talking about it. And again, this goes back to my work with the community. You know, I work with a lot of nonprofits, and most of them centered around children. So we work with a lot of children's organizations. I've actually talked to the city. There are 8 lots of land that are dedicated for park space that have absolutely zero improvement for a park being in them. Most of them located in neighborhoods where we could easily put in a small park. It doesn't really cost a lot of money. And if we partner with these nonprofit organizations to utilize their grant opportunities and things like that, we can fund those parks without having to cost the taxpayer much of anything at all, except for eventually upkeep. You know, but those are parks that land was dedicated to that purpose. You know, we should be building these out. Those communities gave that land so that there would be a park there, and the city has failed to follow through on its promise to build it. So I'd like to build those parks out. The more parks that we have, the more vibrant that every community is going to be. So I believe in a healthy, active community.
Well, and to have the parks and be able to use them, you got to take care of the homeless problem. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's all connected to each other, and that's where, like I said, I think we're in a fairly good place right now. I know that there's a lot of uncertainty about the future of the economy and things like that, but we're in a very good place in the city as far as being able to make some decisions about long-term projects that we can take on right now.
Okay. All right. So
if anyone wants any more information, you can go to www.backdave.com, BACKDAVE.com.
Okay. And that's how people get a hold of you then?
Absolutely. They can get me through there.
And you can go, you'll talk in front of any group of people.
I am happy to talk to anyone. Yes. Absolutely. I won't necessarily agree with everyone, but I'm happy to talk.
Oh, I think it's important that people hear, every one of the people that's running for city council hear what, if they're already in, incumbents, that what they plan on doing to change things. It still comes down to, takes 3,
mm-hmm.
3-2. And even though they don't like it, Mike DeQuisto used the word juggernaut. And it really offended some people on the council. But when you look at the votes, you got to kind of, you know, look at it like, gee.
Yeah, I was going to say, some people claim that if you're against, you know, the current council, then you're against Bethel. I don't agree with that statement. I'm not anti-Bethel by any means. I just am against any one group having control over the council and being able to just unilaterally decide to block or go forward with something without any real discussion. You know, we should be having community discussions on a lot of these projects.
Yeah. Well, they did, and now, as we just learned, is because, you know, some people would say it's the election coming up and they don't want to have to go on record as the people that are running. Mm-hmm. Tanessa, who is running for assembly, and Josh running for four-year term. And we'll get Erin in here and see what she says about it. And we know how Mark feels about it. We know how another one of the candidates feels about it. So it seems to me is that the majority of people running want to see that rodeo stay here. So anyway, okay, backdave.com. There you go. Dave, thanks a lot. Dave Backus, who is running for Reading City Council. And he's kind of a local guy, Paradise, and his wife born at Mercy. So thanks a lot for being here. We'll get you again before the election, too. Get everybody on at least twice.
Sounds great.
When we come back, we got Reading Police Department here, the guy in charge of the SWAT team and other divisions within the RPD.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says that they've been charged in connection with the October 7th terror attack inside Israel.
As outlined in our complaint, those defendants, armed with weapons, political support, and funding from the government of Iran and support from Hezbollah, have led Hamas's efforts to destroy the state of Israel and murder civilians in support of that aim.
A 7-count criminal complaint's been filed in federal court in New York. Ahead of his scheduled sentencing in 2 weeks, former President Trump has failed again to have his New York criminal case moved from state to federal court. U.S. District Judge Alvin Hellerstein denied the Trump legal team's request, just as he has done before. Federal prosecutors say a former aide to two New York governors, including the current governor, Kathy Hochul, has been charged with acting as an undisclosed agent of the Chinese government. There's been growing speculation over the prospects for an interest rate cut and the possibility that such a rate cut could come soon.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell pointed toward a rate cut this month during a high-profile speech a couple of weeks ago.
The time has come for policy to adjust. The direction of travel is clear, and the timing and pace of rate cuts will depend on incoming data, the evolving outlook, and the balance of risks.
While inflation is coming down, a majority of Americans in some surveys still complain about elevated prices, given that the cost of such necessities as food, gas, and housing remain far above where they were before the pandemic in 2020. The Fed's next meeting takes place in a couple of weeks. I'm Shelley Adler.
And there's been a turnaround on Wall Street. Stocks, which had been lower, now in positive territory. The Dow is up 201 points. The Nasdaq ahead, 66. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In theaters now. Reagan returns to office.
We are the greatest country in the world. We have just forgotten.
And you can run from a bully for so long, but after a while, you're going to have to stand up to him.
I am about to start the biggest war of this century.
You told me you wanted to make a difference in this world.
What would you have me do?
I want you to fight.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Reagan, in theaters now, rated PG-13.
The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, just like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Pope Francis urging Indonesia to live up to its promise of harmony and diversity and fight religious intolerance.
Indonesia is often held up as a model of diversity, where the Muslim majority coexists peacefully with smaller communities of Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, and many older faiths in a secular state. But the Pope warned his hosts that this diversity needed to be defended against religious extremism, a reference to the occasional attacks carried out by jihadist militants in Indonesia over the past 25 years. The Indonesian authorities have successfully marginalized the most violent groups, But human rights campaigners argue that the climate for religious minorities has become less tolerant.
That's the BBC's Jonathan Head. Egyptian President El-Sisi making his first official visit to Turkey after the two countries ended years of tensions. El-Sisi and Turkish President Erdogan set to discuss a range of issues. News and analysis at townhall.com. Attorney John Deaton won a three-way Republican primary facing off against incumbent U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who ran unopposed in this week's Massachusetts primary.
Deaton, a former U.S. Marine and cryptocurrency attorney who was born in Detroit, announced earlier this year that he would vie for a chance to challenge Warren as she runs for her third term in office. Relatively unknown in Massachusetts politics, Deaton faces a steep climb against Warren. She's a former Harvard law professor who has twice won a Senate seat but came in third in Massachusetts in her 2020 bid for president. She remains popular in the heavily Democratic state. Warren said in an email that she's accepted two October debates, one in Boston and one in Springfield. Deaton will face off against Warren in November. I'm Bernie Bennett.
First-degree murder charges filed against a 30-year-old man accused of fatally shooting four people while they were sleeping on a Chicago-area transit train happened early Monday in Forest Park. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 4th of September, 8:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ben's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And it's National Wildlife Day.
Yes, sir.
Cool.
We also got National Newspaper Carrier Day.
You know, with the Reading Searchlight, we used to get our papers delivered on Sunday. I get it, you know, on Sundays. And they did away with that. Now they're mailing them out. So, too bad. So many people started out their careers as newspaper carriers, you know, back in the day, delivering newspapers every day.
Well, I did it at, you know, the Reading Rodeo.
Well, you were selling programs, but it's kind of the same thing, I can see. Hey, the weather today, it's going to be up to 104 today, and stand by. It's going to be 107 tomorrow, 103 on Friday, and 100 on Saturday. So the heat warnings are out there. Heat advisories are out there. Then it starts to cool down on Sunday, 95, Monday, 92, and Tuesday even has a slight chance of showers, mostly sunny with a high near 86. So that's what it looks like till next Tuesday. And the weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, locally operated, family-owned company. They're into the third generation out there in Anderson. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They have other payment programs out there. They've got a device that's on your propane tank that tells them when it needs time to be filled up, so you don't have to worry. They'll just come out there and fill it up for you, so you don't have to worry about running out of propane. It's a veteran-owned business, and they are just really a good family, the Kenny family out of Anderson at Shasta Gas Propane. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. And I'm here with Reading Police Department and Lieutenant John Sheldon. Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Most of the officers that come in here, because the way that Chief Barner does this, and it's a great idea, is they bring in, and the sheriff does the same thing, brings in a different division. And then about once a quarter, he comes in and kind of ties it all together. So this is the first time that Lieutenant Sheldon has been on, but I met Lieutenant Sheldon, 2 weeks ago now?
It's been 2-3 weeks, yes.
And if you all know about the MoDOT trail ride, well, Lieutenant Sheldon was up there, and I didn't know he was a policeman till after we had a chance to talk. So what was your... Okay, this is from another source. What were your thoughts on this? 48 guys and probably a 10-person support staff up there, and this was your first time up there too.
Yeah, sure was. And my thoughts that sure was a rodeo. somewhere between roughing it and glamorous camping.
Yeah, glamping on one side, which the glamping was the food, and they had tables and chairs, and they had a bar and a stage.
A live band.
A live band, yeah. Well, one guy band, but he was still alive. And but being able to ride out there, and it was everybody seemed to get along.
It was neat. You know, what was really neat about it is you had to be invited. And so yeah. There's a bunch of like-minded folks up there that are kind of all into the same type of thing and love being outdoors and riding horses and camping. And the neatest thing about it was they took all your stuff up there for you. So you didn't have to
pack anything in.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so you get air mattresses and cots. And
yeah. Some people went up there early and put up tents.
Yep.
And
wall tents.
Porta potties. Two of them that actually flushed. I've never been anywhere for something like that. But it was a good time, I think. And plus, gave us the opportunity to, look at some good wrecks that happened up there. A wreck being, of course, somebody coming off their horse. In fact, you've got a video that I had not seen in the boot race where somebody came off their, and this horse was going for it too. And then there were some other people also. And ages range from age 90 to age, 21, 22, something like that.
Yep, and the only thing we all had in common was that we were all trying to stay on our horse, trying not to fall down and get hurt.
And let me tell you, Lieutenant Sheldon, when we got hit with the flower storm, his horse said, you know, I'm not sure about this. And you put him into a spin perfectly. And then stepped off him, which we were there anyway. But, well control of your horse as opposed to some others that they bucked through.
I might have looked a lot more graceful than it felt.
Okay. Tell us about you, John. Are you a local guy or what?
I am. I moved up here. My family wanted to make a move to Northern California from the Southern California area. So I've been up here since 1994.
Okay.
So came up here when I was in the eighth grade and went to high school and college up here. And so at this point, although I wasn't born here, I consider myself a local boy. I've spent most of my life here.
Yeah. Okay. So what decided you on police work?
Well, I always was interested in, looked up to police officers when I was younger and was just kind of, enamored. And when you see them go by with the lights and sirens and see them on the news, and it was never really anything that I actually visualized myself doing other than it interested in me. And so once I got to college, I started taking some elective courses in criminal justice, and it just kind of went from there, ultimately getting a degree in criminal justice.
Okay. And did you start here or did you start someplace else?
I actually started with the Shasta County Sheriff's Office working in the jail.
Is that a good spot to start, you think?
For me, it was a great place to start. So I'm first-generation law enforcement. I did not come from the military. I had not had a whole lot of exposure to the, hardened criminal element. And so it was a great training ground for me to just kind of, put one foot in, and kind of feel the waters and learn all the tricks of the trade. And it sure made for a much easier transition when I was actually hired by Reading Police.
Well, having taken a tour of the jail, that's a tough job, the correctional officers there. I mean, policemen will arrest somebody and maybe not see them again unless there's a trial or something. These guys are with them literally 24 hours a day. I mean, well, whatever their shift is, 12 hours or whatever. And they get to know the correctional officers. So that, and this used to be a jail where somebody may go in there for 6 months and then come out. And the stories I heard of people walking down the street or at the mall with their family, and here comes Mr. Jones, who he had just been watching for the last 7 months, comes up and wants to say hello. So they have a signal where everybody scatters at that point. I don't know. Did you find anything like that? Or?
Well, most families have, some sort of kind of code or signal to kind of let the wife and kids know that they're not comfortable with the situation or they're in a potentially dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because when you work in the jail, you are, as a patrol officer, you deal with all the bad people in your particular beat. And so when you work in the jail, you deal with all the bad people that are being arrested in the whole entire county of Shasta. and then some. And then you get to know these people because you're spending 12 and a half hours a day with them. And so it's pretty easy. Real quickly, you become a very familiar face. And so everyone in public, all these guys recognize you when you're out in public.
Yeah, that must be tough. Plus, I was told that they watch because that's all they do is watch.
And they watch and listen. Looking out the windows, they knew what vehicle I drove, what shift I worked, what they could get
away with.
Which way
you turned when you left to leave the place. Yeah, sure. One officer told me, he says, I'd take a different direction every day for it. Anyway, so then you went from, after you'd been there, then did you get hired on, did you go on to patrol with the sheriff's office, or did you go to the...
No, I stayed strictly at the jail, and there was kind of a trickling, a little bit, not a whole lot of hiring at the time at Reading Police, and that was always kind of my end goal. And so I ended up putting myself through the police academy, and while I was in the police academy, the police department finally picked me up.
Okay, and when was that?
That was in 2007.
2007, okay. So, gosh, you've been there a while.
Yeah, about 20 years total. I'm a little over 17 and a half at RPD.
Okay. I'm here with Lieutenant John Shelton, who we're going to talk about what he does at the police department. We found out that he cut his teeth in the jail as a correctional officer there, and we found out that he can ride a horse. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair, another locally owned, locally operated company right here in town, and nobody can fix windshields like Jeff Horst. He fixed a crack in my windshield, 17 years ago, right after I moved here, and you still can't see it. That's how long the fix has lasted, plus the fact that Jeff guarantees his work, whether it's a small chip or a crack up to 24 inches in length, for the life of the windshield. He's an expert at this. He brings in the vehicles into a climate-controlled area. He fixes the windshields. He does it quickly, does it for very fair prices, and he guarantees his work. For a free inspection and analysis, take your vehicle down to 3208 South Market Street or give Jeff a call at 530-241-8373 for an appointment. Locally owned, locally operated, a veteran-owned business. Crackmaster Windshield Repair. We'll be right back with Lieutenant John Shelton.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park and Dutch Bros Coffee presents Caffeinate for a Cause, back for its 12th annual year. Stop by any local Dutch Bros location on Thursday, September 19th, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. in support of Turtle Bay's exhibitions and educational programming. $1 from every drink sold plus tips will be donated to Turtle Bay. You never know, you could get a chance to meet one of our Turtle Bay animal ambassadors. Don't miss Caffeinate for a Cause, Thursday, September 19th, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. we salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. It's the 4th of September, 8:20 in the morning. It's going to be up to about 100 and, gosh, what did we say today? 104 degrees, so the heat advisory is out. And this portion of the show brought to you by House of Realty. House of Realty is the dean of real estate firms, been here over 60 years, located at 1707 Placer Street. And you can give them a call at 530-241-8300 for all of your real estate needs. And we're here with Lieutenant John Sheldon of the Reading Police Department. And he's been with the department about 17 years, but he's been in law enforcement for about 20, worked over at the Shasta County Jail as a correction officer. So what are you doing over there at RPD now?
Well, my current assignment is I'm responsible for the Special Services Unit and our patrol division.
Okay, and that is?
That is everything that, so you have your basic uniformed patrol, and then everything else in the patrol division is the special services unit. So that includes the community work program, the park rangers, neighborhood police unit, school resource officers, bike team, cert team, and traffic unit. So lots going on.
Is the SWAT team in that?
The SWAT team is a collateral assignment.
Oh, it's, okay, that's a collateral assignment for everybody. You got all the equipment, and if you're called in, everybody merges.
Correct.
Or converges, I should say.
Correct.
Wow, okay, let's talk about school resource officers. You know, I'm one of those people that believes there ought to be a school resource officer in every school. It comes down to funding. And the reason being is, you never can tell what happens at the schools. And if we have a trained officer there, at least we've got a chance to hold the line until everybody else arrives.
That is right. It would be great to have an officer at every school, but officers are expensive. And what a lot of people don't know is that the school districts are paying for that officer, for at least most of that officer's position.
Yeah, so they pay, yeah. And then does a school resource officer get special training before they go there, like how not to you know, how not to get weird, not weird, how not to take offense at today's children, not weird, I'm sorry, but how not to take offense at today's children, which are somewhat different?
It is definitely a shift for those officers to like I was talking about, the hardened criminals that you deal with and then go in and deal with fights and vaping.
Hardened children.
Hardened children, yeah. Especially in the high schools, there's a lot of things that they have to deal with. There's a lot of laws surrounding juveniles specifically, so they do have to have special training to deal with the juvenile population and deal with the school population, laws pertaining to schools, and then the the critical incidences that happen in schools across the country.
Well, I just heard it on the news today from Sue, an 11-year-old kid in Mississippi killed two people, 11 years old, killed two people in his family. I just, I'm appalled at that. But then you're seeing that, there's a 17-year-old, which is an adult, frankly, when you're working in the city, just shot that 49er player, but they charged him as a juvenile on this. Things have changed in schools since, especially me, but even, since you've been in school.
They sure have, yes. There's definitely an element of violence that I don't think existed back when I was, in those years.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Did you say you had the CERT teams also as part of that?
Yep, that's correct.
What a wonderful concept that was. And I think Bill Shuler started that.
He did.
But Chief Barner has expanded it and totally supported that.
Yep. The CERT team has been great. Great addition to our department and great addition to our community.
Well, you've got how many different units are under you, under the special what?
Special services.
Special services.
Yeah, it's a total of seven.
Okay. In the military, special services are the guys that hand out baseball gloves and that kind of stuff. But so it's somewhat different in the police work, obviously.
It's a little different, yeah. We've got a whole team of officers. It's 27 officers, four supervisors, and then about another 10 to 15 non-sworn if you count the cadets. And
oh, okay. So you've got all that then. You've got the whole enchilada. Okay, park police. Well, they're not. They're called park rangers, but they're sworn police officers. And what's their mission?
Well, you see the park rangers out there. They wear a little bit different uniform.
Yeah.
They wear the black with the green to kind of be a little more obvious who's who out there because, a lot of people didn't recognize who was a park ranger and who was a police officer. When they all wear the same uniform, they are a sworn officer. They just change uniforms to be have a little bit of a different identity, and their mission is to go in and keep the park safe. And I think that they've been really successful in that mission. The parks have done a 180-degree change since the addition of those officers. And
now, what's their mission? Are they on bicycles or how do they get around the parks on the trails and everything?
So they have their park ranger trucks that you may see running around down there, the white Chevys, they see park ranger on them, look a little bit different than the traditional look. They also have access to ATMUs, bicycles if they want, electric vehicles, so we have two different teams, two-man teams, one working Monday through Thursday, the other team working Wednesday through Saturday, they do have, their mission is the same, but they do have kind of different rules from each other. Based on the days of the week and
really?
Staffing, they do. Yes.
So, what are the differences in rules? If it's not a secret,
well, it's not a secret. Now, the Monday through Thursday guys work very closely with the community work program officers. So,
okay.
Cleaning up the parks, cleaning up the illegal encampments and the green spaces. The Wednesday through Saturday guys, because they work Friday, Saturdays, there's a lot of events that occur.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that work has been done on the front end of the week, and so they spend time attending the various functions, throughout Reading and kind of hit some of the outlying parks. And then they also spend time on the river, both teams. They're park rangers and river officers.
Oh, so they're in the riverboat.
Yep, those are our four primary officers that run that program.
So, do you have a lot of volunteers for the park ranger group?
Or
would they rather be on, be in their car driving around?
It's a change of pace. So, being in your car driving around for years and years and years is something that kind of wears on you. And so, park rangers is allows you to kind of do things a little bit different, work on some long-term problems, have some projects that you can see through completion and kind of make a difference. And so it is a young program. We've got our Monday through Thursdays are our first park rangers, and then our Wednesday through Saturday guys are our third and fourth. And so when they rotate out of those positions, we'll bring in some more people and give them an opportunity.
Okay. We're here with Lieutenant John Shelton, who's in charge of the Special Services Unit for the Police Department, which covers just about everything, it sounds like, except patrol. But the Park Police, the school resource officers, you've got the CERT teams in that?
CERT team is in that as well.
Another huge success.
It is.
And we kind of talked about that, but...
Yep, search for the critical incident response team.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, John, I'd like to talk about this, the new, since the ruling from the Supreme Court, and what kind of impact that has on our police department. With, you know, Chief Barner says, hey, we're going to do a three strikes. And, you know, how that's going to work from your point of view. I mean, from us looking outside, you know, kind of, how's it look?
Right.
So, okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, has been my barbershop for 17 years since I moved here. I'm not a local yet. Maybe another 20 years, then I can say I'm kind of a local. I've never had a bad haircut there at Cypress Square Barbershop, and it's a barbershop. It's not a salon. It's a true barbershop, founded in 1960. Been in the same spot for like 1966. Barbers have changed, but the ambiance and the good haircuts you get there have never changed. It's a veteran-owned business. They get discounts for seniors and veterans, and I make an appointment with them, so it works on my schedule, so I don't have to wait in line or anything. I call them at 530-244-9478 and set up a time to get my hair cut. The Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. We'll be right back.
Fall is the best time of the year to plant trees and shrubs. The nights are cooler and the ground is still warm, and this allows the roots to take hold and gives the plants a good start. Starting September 6th through the 21st, Goldleaf Nursery's Big Fall Sale begins. Take advantage of their fall sale prices, and what a sale it's going to be. 40% off all 1-gallon through 24-inch box trees. Take 40% off all 1-gallon through 15-gallon shrubs, vines, and ground cover. The nursery is loaded with beautiful plants, shrubs, trees, perennials, and ground cover. Their roses, crepe myrtles, and verbenas are in bloom. They have a tasty selection of fruit trees and citrus with over 1,000 in stock and on sale. Come in and take advantage of this big fall sale. 40% off all shrubs and trees, 1 gallon or larger. Now in stock. Fall vegetable and fall color. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and a quarter mile from Airport Road. Don't miss the big fall sale at Gold Leaf Nursery.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community. Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Whether you're looking for unique items for your home or office, shop Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson. Memory Lane offers a variety of antiques, military memorabilia, camping and mining equipment, men's jewelry, including crosses and rings, along with sports memorabilia and collectibles. Memory Lane also features antique and upcycled furniture and decor, including paintings and signs, picture frames, books, and movies. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles also has a wide assortment of jewelry to choose from, including antique and vintage, to costume and classic jewelry. They also feature a distinct Amish collection of items and gifts. Memory Lane is open Monday, 10 to 6, closed Tuesday and Wednesday, open Thursday through Saturday from 10 to 6, and Sunday, noon to 5. Memory Lane Antiques, Vintage, and Collectibles at 1773 Highway 273 in Anderson.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, everybody. 8:34 in the morning here on the 4th of September. It's going to go up to 104 today, so be aware of the heat. In fact, we're going to be at a heat advisory for the next 3 or 4 days. Before it starts cooling down on Sunday. And it's going to be under 100 there, but that's the first day it's going to be under 100 is Sunday. So, hey, and I'm here with Reading Police Department and Lieutenant John Sheldon, who I got to meet in a lot different circumstances a couple weeks ago when we were both up on this MoDOT trail ride, which I just keep talking about incessantly to my wife. And I saw some people the other day that was with us, John. You remember John? You may remember John, the guy who was with me.
I do.
Yeah, yeah, another good guy. Yeah, we're trying to talk about it, but the girls didn't want to hear anymore. But he's also in charge of the Special Services Unit of the Reading Police Department, which is all of those park police, school resource officers, CERT teams, the bike teams. Now, we had somebody throw a rock through our window here.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yeah.
Well,
there it is right over there.
And,
we keep that. I may bronze it. Your bike teams were really responsive to this. I mean, they came in a couple of times. You know, they know who did it. But as one of them says, oh, yeah, we could go down a bit. This guy is so far gone. His brain is so far gone at this point that he probably doesn't even remember doing it. And I said, well, how would he select somebody? He goes, there's no rhyme or reason. He's just walking down the street with a rock. And we had the blinds pulled just like this. He just threw it through the window and then sauntered off. But your bike team was very professional and did follow-ups on it and all this. So that's my only experience with the bike teams. But how many bike teams do we have?
That's good to hear that kind of feedback. That's exactly what we want from our bike team to, you know, create those relationships with our businesses. So we've got 4 officers. So just like the park rangers, we've got a Monday through Thursday crew, a 2-man team, and then a Wednesday through Friday crew, which is a 2-man team, and they are exclusively in downtown Reading.
Okay, what about Hilltop over there? At least it used to be. Hilltop was a happy hunting ground for our thieves out there for the hotels and motels out there. Do y'all do anything special out there?
We do a lot of directed enforcement over on Hilltop as well. That area is equally as important. We just don't have the bike team guys dedicated to it.
Yeah, it's too big a area, I guess.
Yeah, we'll pivot and shift them over for major enforcement efforts, but from day to day, we keep them downtown.
Yeah.
And then the Hilltop corridor is more for our neighborhood police unit, which is another 4 guys.
Oh, you have a Hilltop unit?
No, our neighborhood police
unit. Oh, neighborhood police. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Yeah, okay. Let's talk neighborhood police units. They've been very successful.
They have. Neighborhood police units been it went away in around 2009, 2010 for budgets.
Along with everything else.
Yep, and then it came back in beginning of 2016 and has been a very successful program for our community.
Now they're out, and their primary mission is what? I mean, people police the neighborhoods, but there's more to it than that.
It is. They have a really wide range. Anytime there's any sort of problem that's surfacing, they're the first guys that will jump on it. So whether it be retail theft or a drug house in a neighborhood, or you get a lot of complaints over at Hilltop and Cypress of a lot of people just kind of marinating and causing problems and being a nuisance, and they'll go over there and enforce and take care of those issues and try to get things back to normal.
I saw where y'all hit a house the other day that was in the paper that was famous in the neighborhood for all the bad things that happened. Y'all went in, and when you arrested the two guys that were there, I mean, there was just all types of drugs, guns. It is so damn hard to buy a firearm legally in this state. They make you to jump through all these hoops. Where do felons get their guns?
They're mostly stolen.
They get from local areas or from people from other areas?
I mean, you name it.
Okay, I mean, is there like a mobile gun shop for criminals that
no,
that drives
they're
around?
Just like you have drug dealers. You also have guys that are their criminal thing is to steal guns or break into houses and they'll steal guns, they'll burglarize houses, guns, sell them, yeah. Trade them for drugs, and so it's a problem. There's a lot of guns out there floating around. We're pulling guns off. Our neighborhood police unit and our patrol officers are pulling guns off of people, right and left.
My son is a U.S. Marshal. Now he's a chief there, so he's off the streets finally. And that was one of the things he said in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is, a garden spot of crime, was that they didn't used to see guns on everybody, and now everybody's got a gun. And they always go in thinking, these guys are all armed. And he said, we're usually right that there's such a proliferation of guns with criminals. And at the same time, he says, it used to be a big bust if you got 100 fentanyl pills. Now 1,000 doesn't even raise an eyebrow anymore.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There are definitely there's a lot of guns out there, more than there used to be. And not people aren't necessarily using them.
Right,
It's still pretty rare that they get used, but a lot of people have possession of them.
Well, and this is all anecdotal, and I've asked, Chief Barner, Chief Shuler, the Sheriff Pacheco, and Johnson and Magrini, asked them it's all anecdotal to me, but it seems like our society has gotten more violent, more willing to fight. Now, I'm not talking about the good guys. I'm talking about the ones that you all come in contact with. Is that right, or is that just purely just something I think, which is wrong?
it's hard to say. I mean, I would agree that my observation is that there's been an uptick over the last, 20 years. But I don't know that I have any more. I don't think that people are taking us on or being, any more violent. I'd say it's stayed pretty steady.
Okay.
But we're definitely aware of it because we have, the message travels fast now because all the information is put out on social media.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's kind of, if something happens, you're made aware of it instantly, whereas before you'd have to read about it in the paper, a couple of days later you had the paper.
And younger. It does seem like they're younger. Like that one of y'all just arrested is 15 years old. For that shooting down Pacelli and... Chelly and Hartnell, is there a shooting? Somebody said it was a 15-year-old that did the shooting in this. At least I think that's what I read in the paper. And, 15 years old doing this. But today's society. Do you, for your men and women out there, because you've got so many different things going on. So the new three strikes rule. How is that going to impact?
So we're talking about the...
For the homeless.
Yes, and so...
Because your guy's right in the middle of that.
We are. So we've had the recent court decisions with Boise and Grants Pass overturned, mm-hmm. and which kind of lets us have a little more, kind of input in the way we want to enforce these illegal encampments. And I would say that the Reading Police Department has always been more aggressive than most departments. in the way that we handle these situations. And so not a huge change, because we've already been pretty aggressive. We're always coordinating large scale, you know, cleanups in the green spaces and our community work programs, constantly removing trash and graffiti eradication. We've gotten about 550,000 pounds of trash off the street so far since January 1. And so really what this new policy is it's going to make us not wait, you know, for it to turn into a problem. We can address it early on.
And three strikes, meaning that you've been warned twice. Now you've got 24 hours to move.
Well, if we've been warned three times.
Oh, so three times.
You have kind of three prior warnings. And, you know, during those warnings, our officers are kind of educating these folks on what services are available for them, calling the CERT team, trying to connect them with, you know, HHSA and No Boundaries and the Mission. Mission's been a great partner. And the folks that, you know, they just don't want the help and they just want to live on the streets, so those are the ones that we're targeting. We're not going to let them.
Yeah, just stay there. Because Dave Backus, who is running for office for city council, was just here, and his thoughts on it was that, as are my thoughts on this, that there are lots of programs out there that are not being, I mean, they're not taking advantage of these. We've gotten hundreds of people off the street through the CERT teams and Good News Rescue Mission and all these other organizations. I mean, the facilities and the programs are there if they want to use them.
And that's what's good about the CERT team, is that they have the ability to, or they're willing to, reach out to this population, go into the scary places, and connect these people with services. And so the CERT team really is kind of one component is performing outreach efforts, and it's kind of the evolution of policing. It's just kind of a need of the community, a need of the department, and they're doing a great job.
Tell people what CERT stands for.
Critical Incident Response Team.
And this is a team of people in civilian clothes.
Correct.
And that two of them are, at least, I don't know, maybe one or two of them are trained in mental health.
All four of them are.
Diffusing situations that somebody may want to fight because there's a uniform and CERT team shows up and ends up happier.
We call the CERT team, yeah, definitely when we're dealing with the a population that suffers from mental health. And they are a great tool to kind of minimize the frequency of violent encounters with law enforcement officers, and they can come in and de-escalate. They got special training. They've got a softer look. They take a more patient approach, and so they've been a lifesaver on several incidences. And they're all part of our hostage negotiation team. So anytime we have something significant kickoff, they're the first persons to show up and act as the voice for to kind of negotiate through those situations.
Cool. All right. Hey, we're here with Lieutenant John Shelton, who's in charge of the Special Services Unit. And as I mentioned earlier, in the military, that means those are the ones that handle, you know, baseball games and all that. But for him, he's got the CERT teams, he's got school resource officers, he's got park police, he's got the bicycle teams. Who else?
The traffic unit.
Traffic unit.
School resource officers.
School resource officers, yeah. And all of this falls under his purview here. So it's a lot of cats and dogs that you have, I mean, going in different directions, but with one goal, keeping us a little bit safer.
That's correct.
Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be right back.
That's what I said now. This is Princess, who adore you. Just go ahead now. One last diamonds in his pockets. And that's a breath.
This Sunday, Lake Redding Park will be as smoking as those crazy yellow-shirted Asphalt Cowboys fire up their barbecues for the annual Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue Fundraiser. Partake of the finest fire-grilled tri-tip or chicken, salad, cowboy beans, garlic bread, and a beverage. Eat it there or use the convenient drive-thru. Place a bid at the annual live and silent auction between 1 and 3 p.m. Tickets are $15 at the event or pre-purchase for $13 from any Asphalt Cowboy, Paint Marts in Redding and Anderson, San Francisco Deli, or Lulu's Restaurant on Pine Street at Cypress Avenue. Lulu's serves great food and drinks at affordable prices 7 days a week. Soups, salads, sandwiches, steaks, seafood, and Italian dishes.
Everything is made fresh daily at Lulu's, and you can order prime rib any time of the day, plus the very best Bloody Mary in town. Catering and banquet facilities are also available with customized menus to fit your budget. Join us this Sunday at Lake Redding Park between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the Asphalt Cowboys Community Barbecue.
Live at the Cascade Theater, James Garner's tribute to Johnny Cash.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
Returning to Reading Friday, September 13th, starting at 7:30 at the Cascade Theater. Enjoy the stories and especially the music.
Keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine. I want the line.
Take a trip down memory lane with a tribute to the Man in Black.
I hear the train coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison.
Don't miss James Garner's tribute to Johnny Cash. Friday, September 13th, starting at 7:30 at the Cascade Theater. Tickets are on sale now at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877. That's 530-243-8877.
Looking for natural relief for yourself, kids, preschoolers, or elderly from coughs, colds, allergies, and high blood pressure? Visit today at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave on Market Street, where salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs. Salt therapy can help you breathe easier, decrease pain, and infrared sauna supports weight loss and detox. Visit today and start feeling better. Call 530-338-2094. That's 530-338-2094. Look for a first-time discount at Capturing the Essence Salt Cave, where salt is like a toothbrush for the lungs.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go and come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and DeVott. 8:51 in the morning here on the 4th of September. Tomorrow, Doug Jinky is going to join me and bring his D game. We're also going to be talking about Paisano Days. We're going to be talking about some other events that some of our charities are running. That's here to help our kids, all of us tomorrow. But today I've got Lieutenant John Sheldon, who's in charge of the Special Services Unit over at the Reading Police Department, which is everything except Patrol Division and Detectives, CERT, School Resource Officers, Park Police, River Police, Bike Police, but he's also, you're the commander, are you the commander of the SWAT team?
Yeah, the title, the SWAT commander, yes.
SWAT commander. Okay.
Which means manager.
What was that?
Which means manager.
Manager. Okay. Now, SWAT is not a primary mission.
No, it's what we call collateral assignment. So it's not a full-time assignment. So officers will, there's many collateral assignments. SWAT being one of them, and they just kind of do it. It's like an extra duty.
When does SWAT get called?
Well, anytime there's a situation that's kind of surpassed the the regular, you know, patrol response, something that's going to be extra dangerous, like there's weapons involved, there's a subject barricaded, we get deployed to apprehend felons, we get deployed to do dignitary protection, you know, we've done that with President Trump and Bush in the past. So there's a whole host of reasons, and it's really just kind of at the discretion of...
Obviously, you did a better job than the Secret Service. I remember he came in here, flew in to the airport. I was there for that.
Yeah.
And it was everybody was there. It was Democrats, Republicans, because Republicans kind of wanted to see who this guy was back when he was running the first time.
And we get involved because we're also kind of the crowd control, too, kind of de facto crowd control team as well.
I had to give up my pocket knife. But I knew the chief, and I said, I've lost my pocket knife. And I said, I hid it, but they managed to pick it up. And he says, look at this. I guess y'all had a box, a pocket knife. Everybody carries a pocket knife. And I found it. So it had a happy ending. Okay, so SWAT is you're trained to go in to make entries and clear a house more so than just your regular police are.
Correct.
And also sniping. You have snipers that you have. Now, they must get special training.
The sniper element, it does. It ranges from how many officers on the team, as many as four or five, and right now we're down to two. But they do extra training every month. They do their regular monthly training, and then additional 4 to 5 hours of training a month, specifically on the long rifles.
Do you have to be a sworn officer to be on your sniper team, or can you just take guys been in the military?
Yeah, you have to be a Reading police officer.
Okay, so just kidding. Okay.
So we do have some volunteers on the SWAT team, but not on the sniper team.
So when you get the call, even if you're off duty, is it just the ones that are on duty that will show up?
It's no matter where you're at, you got guys that'll be up at the ski park or in Tahoe or Sacramento or just here home enjoying the day with their family. They'll break from whatever they're doing, and they'll respond in and help out all hours of the day or night.
Okay. All right.
It's just kind of an expectation of to be on the team. And the guys that are on the team, they want to answer that call.
They have like little marks, or do they have like little badges or something on them that says SWAT?
The uniform is different. We change over into a green uniform for camo, and it has some SWAT markings on it, and as well as all the regular police markings.
All right. Do y'all show up in the just come in your regular cars, or y'all have an armored vehicle, right?
We do. That's called the Bearcat.
Yeah.
And that's the primary vehicle we'll show up in. It's an armored vehicle, and so we'll assemble, put a game plan together, and make sure that we identify all the risks, and our goal is to basically resolve the situation safely, and we do that through training and having a good plan and having the right equipment, and that armored vehicle is kind of central to having the right equipment.
Well, people say, why do we need an armored vehicle? I was down in Sacramento when they had a big shootout down there, and one of the policemen or policewoman was laying out there, and she was still alive, and they could not get to her. And all I could think of was, if you had an armored vehicle, you just drive it between her and the guys that were shooting at him, and you could rescue her. And she eventually bled out right there. This is several years ago. So when people talk about armored vehicles, this is for the safety of not just the police officers, but any victims that could be out there.
Absolutely. I mean, it's actually called the armored rescue vehicle is what we call it.
Yeah.
And Bearcat is just the name of the manufacturer.
Yeah. So the SWAT team that you're the commander of and all these other things, do you ever have any chance to go home and visit your family?
Yeah, sometimes it makes for some long nights. We get deployed. It's not too bad. Sometimes we'll go maybe two times a year. Sometimes we'll go up to eight. We're pretty selective when we do deploy the SWAT team. It's usually... We have a pretty capable department, and a lot of the guys on patrol and within the special services unit they're on the SWAT team, or they're just highly skilled officers, and most of our situations are resolved without the SWAT team.
Yeah. Okay. We're about running out of time here. John, if somebody's having problems in their neighborhood, because you also have the neighborhood police unit, If people are having problems in their neighborhood, what should they do?
They should go to our website, and they can make a report to the neighborhood police unit specifically to it's a tab called like a make a report or report a problem.
Okay, so you say, hey, I've got a house down the street that's got all these people there, all hours, and so at least let you know it's happening.
Yeah, that's one of many things that we're happy to take care of anytime we hear that. I mean, having a bad neighbor is, I've had them, I'm sure you have, they just make life terrible. And so, and we realize that, and we want our neighborhoods to be, you know, safe and happy and normal. And so, that's one of those, things we'll jump right on for you.
Cause you live in our neighborhoods.
That's right.
You're not traveling 4 hours to get to job.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. I've been here with Lieutenant John Sheldon, and I got to meet, so you're going to hear it again, everybody. I got to meet him a couple weeks ago in a completely different atmosphere. And but he's no different there than he is right here. So if you need help in your neighborhood, just go to the website. If you need help because you've got homeless depositing their litter or themselves around your business, same thing. Do they call? Or
yeah.
Do they
go, oh my God! Calling would be great. Calling is the first. Probably the first step is to call the non-emergency number or 911 if you have an emergency. Yeah. And if it's something that can wait, then you can try one of those other channels. But either way, we're going to get the message and we're going to help out. And so I really appreciate you having me here today, Carl.
Well, no, I've really enjoyed this because you're in charge of so many of these units that we get to ask questions about that people know about, but they don't really have a bigger picture of it. So thanks a lot for being here today.
Yeah, hope to be back soon.
I hope so, too. All right, everybody, have a great day. Watch out for the heat, and God bless America.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.